Okay, so when you're ready, let's come back together. Let's see what you've noticed here. See what you've noticed. You're getting hot now. That was all listening. So what? How easy is it listening with nothing on your mind? It's bloody hard.
As soon as you start to think about, I've got nothing on my mind, you're thinking you've got something on your mind.
You've already got something on your mind. Yeah.
I felt I was talking, and I kind of felt a bit when my brain drifted off, which it did on a number of occasions. I kind of felt I felt a bit guilty and a bit dishonest that I wasn't being true to what we were trying to do or what she was saying.
Right.
I was listening.
Even though I said that's going to happen.
No,
that's part of it.
Accept that.
Yeah. You decided.
I was listening, but I was like also thinking my own things as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just listening.
But you were noticing that when it happened. Mm. Yeah, who else had that? Mm. You would go off somewhere, your mind would, either you'd get distracted or you'd have some commentary going on what was being said, perhaps. And momentarily you get caught in that. Mm. And what happens to your listening when that happens? Yeah, that's it. I mean, the other is still going on. It's still in your awareness, but it becomes background noise, doesn't it? It's like you can still hear or register what's being said, but you're not really listening to it because your attention, if you like, your focus of attention has gone to your internal dialogue in that moment. It's just a little shift, and in a normal conversation, that's the dance. That's what we're going from one to the other.
If I was tested on it, I'd still remember what she... said, repeat it back to me.
Yeah.
I'd still be able to do that, but it was also... It probably was a little less resonant.
So what else was noticed?
I actually found it very pleasant to listen to Caroline. Because it was just knowing that I don't have to give any advice.
Yes.
Originally, I think we were going to start with thinking, what should we talk about?
I know.
That was that sort of pressure.
How are you going to fill this space?
Yeah. But once Caroline started talking, I thought, I don't really know her. It's interesting to sit and listen to what she has to say. And that was it, really.
That's lovely. That's really lovely what you're saying.
And it was really nice. And it completely changed the way that I thought that listening had to be.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought listening had to be like, I have to try hard. But if you come from a place of actually, and it's true, I don't know Caroline that well, and we haven't spoken that much with each other, so it was really nice.
That's really lovely what Trish has noticed there. You see, think about the implications of that in the context of someone who you think you know. You know, we talked about that earlier this morning or yesterday, how that's what gets in the way of really meeting someone, of really, really hearing them, really seeing them, is the ideas of what we've got in our head about who we think they are, what we think about them already, or what we're bringing to the conversation. You know, our own ideas about how we should be listening, or judgments about ourselves or the other person, whatever it is in our thinking, it forms that barrier between us and the person who's there. So the fact that you felt that there was actually a real meeting, you know, getting to know someone a little bit in a new way, that's indicative of the fact that you were listening with nothing on your mind, or with less on your mind than normal, let's put it that way. Maybe it wasn't altogether nothing, but that's one of the side effects that you immediately get the benefit of, is that you start to hear things you wouldn't otherwise hear. You start to see things you wouldn't otherwise see. You pick things up that would otherwise be lost on you when there's too much going on in your head. Or if you've got some idea about what you're listening for, that's the other thing that gets in the way. You know, if you're in a particular setting, like if it's a consultation or if it's an interview or if it's a meeting with a relative or whatever it is, usually most meetings or most conversations, they have some kind of an agenda attached to them. So we come to it with some idea as to what kind of listening is required. You know, we think we're listening for something. So we've already got our response kind of half prepared, even before the person has said anything. And again, that gets in the way. It's a filter. So to see that possibility that you could have none of that be colouring the interaction. And then even if it's a person who you've had 1,000 conversations with, you can be quite surprised by what you hear. You can actually hear someone freshly, even if it's someone that you know very well. So this is nice. What else? What else have you seen?
I found it very good. I didn't like the talking bit particularly.
You didn't like the talking? You're bored of the sound of your own voice.
Yeah. And so it was good to focus. And to begin with, I just, when it was, speaking, I could to bring myself right in.
Yeah.
To repeat the last words or what he was saying. So just as he was speaking, I would say it in my head, just to really make sure I didn't have anything else going on.
Right.
And actually, I think I found it quite easy to do, because I realised I wasn't looking for a solution or a fight or a justification.
Yeah, you're off the hook completely.
Yeah.
You just
learned something about Mark that I probably would never have known.
Yeah.
About, you know, what he wants to do and kind of thing, not jumping out, speaking out of turn, but and I thought, oh, this is a different person to what I thought.
Right, so a bit similar to what Trishna's saying. Yeah, it's a variation on that. You heard and saw something that kind of was a nice, a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
You get to discover something. And it's got that quality of discovery to it. It's like something fresh that's revealed to you.
Yes,
it's like,
it felt like it was an authentic, well, it wasn't tied up in my own assumptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess even doing that.
Now imagine if we brought that what you're describing, if we brought that kind of listening to any or every conversation, we could have that kind of a discovery about everybody. Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Can you start to see that? Like, that's the implication of this. You start to see that possibility.
Would it not require quite a lot of, I suppose if everyone was like that, it would be great, but does it not require sort of that level of sort of openness and trust? You know, we can listen, but if the other people aren't, you know, speaking from the place of truth or authenticity, then it's, you know, we're not listening to the real truth.
Well,
they'll probably recognise that we're not listening to the truth.
Yeah.
I felt that way. Which is very interesting actually. I could tell when, you know, you're speaking from the heart, and then there would be moments where you go off about something else, and you can tell where the person is coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether they're coming from their thinking.
Yeah.
There were parts where I knew, like, okay, this is thinking, and I didn't really listen to that. I couldn't, like, register it that much. I didn't.
No, it's not even about the content.
There were bits that, you know how we all doze off into our heads.
Yeah.
Into our thoughts, but it was that you can see that with as the person was talking.
Yeah.
What I felt was that I could see, like, when you were talking about music, right? When she was talking about her music, there were moments where you would really talk from a very different place, and you started out talking about it as, and it really felt like it was coming from your heart. And then there were moments where you go off and it's like the people who are with you or whatever, and then there'd be a bit of thinking, and even you can see in the eyes, it's different.
Yeah.
And there's something with the eyes becomes a bit different. That's what I've noticed. I didn't realize I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways you can pick that up. There's a difference in feeling tone. There's often a difference in tonality. Even if the person's using similar words, the voice tone will change. And as you say, like, where they're speaking from has actually changed. Even if they're saying something similar, it's got a different energy behind it, which is tangible, and it's sometimes visible as well on the face.
Mm.
It's great.
Noticeable.
It's noticeable.
Yeah. Now I'm surprised actually.
Yeah.
How noticeable it is.
Yeah, and this is a really, to me, it's a great thing to A, to notice, and B, to pay attention to, because the more you pay attention to it, the more you'll notice it. You know, it's a virtuous cycle. And it's the same thing that that I've noticed in a group, for example, as it is on a one-to-one. So in a group setting, I notice if the conversation goes into a heady mode, I feel it. You know, I just feel like the energy's gone. It's gone to a different place. So when I notice that, part of my role as facilitator is to bring that into awareness, find a creative way to bring it back. Because I know that if people keep going off into that head space, it's going to diminish what it is we're here, what it is we're about. So this is something that you can notice individually, but also it's the same thing in a group. Because collectively we tend to go off. You know, one person sparks another and another and another. So this is a great thing to pick up.
Mark, it depends a bit on the connection then, doesn't it?
Completely. Yeah. It very, very heavily dependent on the connection. And but then you say, well, what does the connection depend on? What determines that?
Yeah. What came to mind was like kind of sense of trust and feeling of kind of love and acceptance.
Yeah, and what does that depend on? Or should we say, what influences that?
You're thinking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. That connection, which we all feel when it's there, and we all feel when it's not, and that love and trust, which is part of that connection, again, that's innate. That's not something that we have to develop or work on. That's where we'd all be all the time, but for our thinking. So that's what naturally surfaces as soon as our thinking quietens down or drops away. It just naturally, we can connect with anybody in the absence of judgmental thinking or critical thinking or whatever it is, preconceived ideas. Really, anybody. Anybody at all. Even people who you might imagine, God, this person's going to be difficult to get along with. And this really is the answer to what you were asking, Mark. It's about, well, you know, if the other person is not in that space and maybe they're bullshitting or something, then it's only kind of half the story. Well, yes and no. Because if you bring that listening, that quality of listening and that quality of presence, the person might start out talking from a certain, let's say, from a head place or from a learned script, something of that kind, they're putting on a front or something that they want you to hear because they want you to like them. But actually, when a person starts to feel that they're really being heard in a new way, they automatically start to drop that. They feel it, even if they don't know what they felt. Something in them gets evoked, gets awakened by that presence, that connection. So they would gradually, they just, it's like a coil kind of winding itself down. They just, you'll find that the person will settle. And then, that quite likely is that they'll speak from a different place. It doesn't take long at all. And it's nice when that happens. Because then you feel the shift that Sarah's noticing. It's like they're talking from this place in one moment, and the next moment it's switched. And you feel it and they feel it too. So in that sense, we don't have to bother about where they are at. The only bit we have to pay any attention to is where we're at. What else? See about you folks?
I found it much easier to listen because I deliberately spoke first.
To get it out of the way.
The last time we did something similar.
Yeah.
I found I was.
You're anticipating the role switch.
Very much so. But this time I did find it much, much easier. And also the fact that you don't have to do anything.
Right.
A lot of people realised when I work, if it is. I perceive it tricky, and sometimes already thinking, well, what the hell am I going to do with this one?
Mm.
You know, your body language is probably still to them okay, but inside, what the hell am I going to do with this one?
Through
the session, and I haven't come up.
Right.
You know, nothing's come to me yet.
Clock's ticking. Time's running out.
I'm
nowhere near figuring this one out.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing I've learned this weekend is that probably where I have. Always try to figure it out. You maybe don't have to, or you definitely don't have to.
You definitely don't have to. Yeah.
Mm.
And the moment you drop that, all your own ideas of what you've got to get and what you've got to understand.
Because I think when I get it right is when I have dropped that anyway.
Exactly, that's it.
It is when I do.
It's just, it's a side effect. Yeah, it comes naturally. Yeah.
So I've probably been doing that by accident.
Yeah.
Quite a lot anyway.
There's this, you've practiced as a homeopath, haven't you, I think?
Yeah, but
something of that kind. One-to-one work.
Yeah.
Because I learned this, again, as a context of homeopathy, and most homeopaths could relate to this, where they would have this phenomena where they'd spend an hour and a half taking a case, asking all these questions and stuff, and then just as the person was heading out the door, the person would just spontaneously come out with the gem, you know, whatever it was that was the most useful and meaningful part of the whole conversation. And a lot of people got curious about this, like, why did they wait so bloody long, you know? And of course, it's the pressure's off. Then the interview is over. It's, you know, when you've kind of put your papers away and you put your pen down, and everybody's on their best behaviour when they're in the interview mode. You're in a kind of role, like you were saying, and both parties usually are. But when that's over, it's like the person's guard drops, and then suddenly they get real and they be spontaneous with you, and then something very meaningful emerges, and it's usually quite fresh, and it's more original and useful than anything they told you in the last hour. So I used to joke with the students, like, what we want that to happen in the first 10 minutes, not the last, you know. Like, if we can create the conditions within which the person can spontaneously feel they have the freedom to just be themselves, then it can be a relatively enjoyable and effortless experience for both. You don't have to go through this period of struggle to get there. That becomes optional at a certain point. You see that it wasn't necessary. What about Sharon, from your end? What did you notice?
I think Dawn and I are quite similar, and a lot of what Dawn was saying I was wanting to agree with, you know, was all, it wasn't difficult to listen.
Yeah.
I didn't find myself sort of going off too much. I think there was a couple of split seconds in it. But it was more the wanting to have a conversation and going, yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I can relate to that one. Yeah.
I found that quite. Because I thought once I do that, then I'm going to lose the listening.
Okay, that's interesting, because I don't remember saying that you couldn't do that or shouldn't
that's
do
what
that.
That's what I thought, see. That's what, it's a thought, isn't it? I thought, if I join in too much here, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be listening properly.
Right. So you were busy censoring yourself instead.
Yeah.
Which in itself is going to get in the way, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really quite bizarre what
you do. But, yeah. So what would have felt more natural to you?
Not to have been given any instructions, I think. And I would have just, we were saying that, when Dawn started it, sort of like, we're going to talk about it for 10 minutes. And so when we go to lunch, we always find something to talk about. So
yes.
Just carry on what we're talking about at lunchtime.
Exactly. Yeah, just like a conversation between friends.
Yeah.
With no agenda.
I think it's because I was sort of wrong, got to listen. You know, I was thinking,
So you turned it into a doing of some kind. Yeah. Exactly.
It's effortless.
Yeah. It is. But what we're after is that quality of effortlessness that you would naturally feel if you were just having a lunchtime chat with each other. What we're after is being able to bring that quality to any
conversation.
Even with someone you don't know, or even with someone who maybe you've got a pre-existing idea about, based on some other experience or what people have told you, or, you know, but potentially could we transfer that? Could we bring that same mode to someone who's we're not friends with? We live in completely different worlds. We don't have that much in common. But could we still find that? Yeah, that's really.
But that, even when you're a friend and you're having a conversation and you are there, like, you know, the example, you go, oh yeah, me too, and.
Mm.
Me Too leads into your story.
It can do, can it, if you're not
so
careful.
You can kind of,
yeah.
And not, it's just a natural.
Yeah, 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 and it's all about me now.
Or, yeah, you kind of translate somehow
yeah.
their story into your story.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not the same quality of listening.
Of course not,
yeah.
No. But that's not to say that you can't include, and if something resonates with you, then there's nothing that says you can't include that. You say, oh yeah, well, I know when I've been in a situation like, is that like what you're saying? I mean, you can always check it out. If if it sounds a bit similar, you don't have to assume that we're in the same boat. You can ask the person, is that similar to what you're describing, or is that different? And again, then it's your curiosity is taking it deeper. You're not closing it off by assuming that you know.
Yeah,
this is that's the difference. You know, that's what kills it in a way. That's what closes it from the connection getting any deeper, is when one of us assumes that we know. It's like, okay, and I've got that person in a pigeonhole now. I know where they are. I know how they operate. Boom. That's the place where our listening usually stops. Sometimes we do that before we've even sat down with them. You know, it's when we bring a lot to the conversation. We've already decided how they are, who they are, what they're about, how we don't like them, or how they're going to be difficult. You know, it's like a closed loop. Very difficult to hear from that. So there's a lot to this. See, there's different listening modes, which is one aspect to it. There's also what we add to the listening in terms of our own thinking and so on. There's what we could call responsive or reactive listening, which is a bit like what Caroline's pointing to, where we hear something and it triggers something that is relevant to us in our own life. And we go, oh yeah, that's like, it's kind of reactive or responsive to. It's valid, but it's being able to discern when that's something which is still, it's in keeping with the deeper listening, shall we say, versus taking away from that into your own story. Yeah.
That's what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
For me, when I listened to your sleeping story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it.
Yeah. It triggered something which.
Automatically,
it's
what
yeah.
I'm going through with my kids as well. So.
Yeah.
Automatically, I'm thinking that.
Yeah, and then we like that's it, and we're liable to make an assumption there, which is usually a bit of a leap. It's we tend to overgeneralize. We say, "Oh yeah, it's just like," and again, we've kind of closed the listening off at that point. But we can utilize those things, you know, things that resonate or they sound similar. We can utilize it, but with a view to keeping the conversation open and understanding more or getting more curious, and. Usually it's just by a simple question that comes about. Is that what you actually ask? Is it like this? Is it? Is that what you're saying? That's what I'm hearing. Just wondering if that's what you really meant. Whenever I've asked that kind of a question, I'm usually stunned by the fact that I didn't hear at all what the person said. But, you know, that's a really good distinction to make. If you're willing to sit in that with someone, you actually say, what I heard you say was X, Y, and Z. Is that close? Am I anywhere close to what you actually meant to say? And you'll be surprised how often it isn't at all. Even if the words are similar, you're using the intention that they were trying to convey is very often different. So this is what helps you to deepen in it. Yeah. And the other aspect to it, we talk about the mode of listening, we talk about what we add to the listening. There's, to me, probably the deepest aspect is, where are you listening from? Within yourself. Where are you listening from? What do I mean by that? She's flapping.
What kind of agenda have you got with this listening? Is there an agenda at all? Or is it just...
Yeah, and if it's just listening, with no agenda, then where are you listening from?
Is it from your head or your intuition or your heart, or what is that kind of? Is that what you mean by where?
I'm asking.
Innately listening.
Innately listening. Okay, which would mean what? If we'd
being present.
Being present, exactly. That's really what it leads you towards. Is If you're listening with nothing on your mind, in other words, with no agenda, like you said, what that means is that you're listening in real time. You're actually being present. You're not comparing it to anything that you brought to the table, and you're not already fantasizing about where it's leading. You're actually just in real time. You're being present to what's being said. And also, part of that, when you're really being present, you're listening between the words as much as to the words. Or you could say behind the words as well as to the words. You're listening to the feeling that's coming. Like you were saying, you can tell when it's coming from the heart and tell when it's coming from the head. However you want to describe it, that is also part of your listening then. When you're present, you hear a lot more than what's being said. Yeah? We all know that. You can pick up a whole lot more when you're present. But when you're not present, that becomes inaccessible to us, relatively speaking. It's like we shut down those extra senses. But they're all available to us when we're really present. It's like there's so much more we can discern.
I remember going on holiday when my son was little, and there was a little boy there who was German, so they neither spoke the other's language at all.
Yeah.
But they spent the whole week together.
Hanging out and having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
amazing. Yeah. And how did they manage that, you know?
Yeah.
And probably they were both talking away.
Yeah,
I see my daughter do that as well. And they just find a way to connect and play and have fun and actually interact. They're actually interacting. Yeah. Which shows you what we think is the crucial part is secondary. Actually, yeah, the linguistic part. It's not essential. So just as if we want people to have the opportunity to connect to that intelligence, that wisdom, somehow we've got to have the eyes for that. You know, we've got to be able to see that possibility. So we've got to be looking from that place. And similarly, if we want people to hear their own wisdom, you know, like to actually recognize their own insights and their own depths, which is really that's what we want. We don't want us to be the ones who give the advice. We want people to discover for themselves that they've got this treasure trove inside, which is way better than anything anybody else could give them. That's the best gift we can give to anybody, is to show them that they've got not only the answer to this problem, but they've got the answers to all the other problems, and they don't even know what they are yet, within them. You know, if we can show that to someone. Now, in order for that to come about, we've got to be listening from that place within ourselves, that same place. So it's like when we're listening from that wisdom, then we're invoking that possibility for other people. When we're seeing through the eyes of that, when we're seeing the well-being, we're evoking the well-being. Does that make sense? You get a sense of that. But it's all about where we're operating from in the moment. It's not about what we're saying or how we're saying it. All of that is secondary. And it's the most natural thing in the world. It's just like the example Debbie gave. It's what we would naturally do as youngsters if nobody told us that we had to do anything else. You know? You just get thrown in a room with someone. Oh, here's so-and-so, he's a new friend. See what you can find to play with. You know? And as youngsters, we just go about it. Even someone we've never met, they don't even speak the language. There's no agenda. You know, we're not bringing anything from the past to that. We just get on and find a way to interact and hang out. Well, we still have that within us. That's innate, that capacity to connect with anybody. But when you are listening from that place, seeing through those eyes, people do pick it up. People will pick it up from you. Because it's tangible and it's something that everybody's looking for. And most people don't know that they're looking for it, but they know it when they feel it, when they come across it. So I've had the experience where you can be sat in a restaurant or something. If you're just in a good place yourself, so that you haven't got a lot on your mind, you're very present, you're feeling very connected, it's attractive. You'll get extra special treatment from the waiter or waitress that day. And they won't know why. They just come and hang out at your table. Stuff like that will happen spontaneously. People will seem to be extra kind to you that day. And they'll want to spend more time around you. It's a presence thing that we all respond to. Kids will want to hang out with you. Kids will, and animals. Yeah? They will. The animals can discern this. It's like it's an inviting, accepting, loving, generous energy which we can pick up on. Who doesn't want that? You know, everybody likes the feel of that when they can smell it in the air. And especially when it has that component of non-judgment. No one's putting a judgment or an agenda on you. Everybody wants to feel that. Just being accepted for who you are. It's the best feeling.
It feels quite easy to listen to people without an agenda. I mean,
it is. It's, that's what I'm saying. It's the most natural thing.
But when you're with people you know well, in this group it's nice. But when you're with people you know well,
it seems more difficult.
It would be harder.
Well, and our experience has been that it is harder. But what I'm inviting you to look at is, what is it that really makes it more difficult?
Maybe it isn't.
That's the only thing that makes it more difficult with those people, is the fact that we bring a lot of thought to the interaction. There's nothing else.
It's cost, it's history.
Exactly. Exactly. But there's really nothing else that makes it more difficult. It's just thought. And that's huge. You know, you've got a glimpse of that there. Mm. When you get a glimpse of that, that's huge. Because that's like the key to transforming any potentially difficult relationship. And it's so simple. It's just such a simple thing. Just seeing the role of thought and how it, when it gets superimposed, then your experience of that person is coloured by that. And if that filter were to be withdrawn momentarily, boom, they show up freshly. Suddenly you get to know someone in a whole new way, even if it's someone you thought you knew for 20 years. Let's have a little break. 20 minutes. Keep you awake today.